This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
There was a lot going on at the NFL annual meetings, and we're going to talk with Mark Raimondi coming up. But Mike, something we've been discussing today, a couple of things that Raheem Morris said, and of course, what our owner Arthur Blank had to say. We will get back into our Braves conversation. Grant McCauley's going to stop by, guys. We have yet to win a game, and I think we're in crisis mode. Everybody keeps saying, Dukes, it's early. Don't worry. We haven't looked competitive, and that's concerning to me about this Braves team.
Yeah, the bats are absolutely ice cold, and you got to feel, you know, at some point. I mean, remember last year I joked, or you made fun of me, because I said, well, bats, we'll get back to our baseball card. And I said, well, Sean Murphy never got back to his baseball card. He was couldn't hit his weight last year. But, yeah, the pitching has not been great. That was always the concern. Grant Holmes, God bless him, going up against the Dodgers to start that series. Not the way you want to roll. But we'll talk to Grant because, you know, Chavez came up, and now he's gone already. They've DFA'd him. And it's a lot of things and bad decisions or lack of decision making as far as bolstering the pitching is coming back to bite him.
No doubt. More on that to get to here on the show. You guys can always chime in, too, by the way. Text line 404-726-0929. We see all the texts. Appreciate you texting us. You can find us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. And the radio show's Dukes and Bell 929. First and foremost, a lot of discussion about Kirk Cousins. And why wouldn't there be? Listen, when you have the NFL annual meetings, it's not just our local media, it's national. And everybody wants to know what's going on with this situation. So even though we have been in the know and we've been covering this story extensively for you, a lot of people around the country, this is their only time to see Raheem Morris and get a chance to talk to him. He's not going to be there for the draft. They'll talk about their draft picks afterwards, and then we'll get to camp or at least OTAs and all the stuff that leads up to it. But there still may not be resolution. And so this is the time where people, you know, the Jay Glazers, Mike, right, of the world, they want to ask these questions. Here's the deal with what he said today about Cousins. He says, I know exactly who he is. There's definitely a human side, and we want to see him go out there and get ready for it.
Don't say it.
Be the best version of himself. This is not a thing where we're holding him back. Mm-hmm. If the opportunity presents itself that it's good for both of us, the Falcons and him, that's good. We'll certainly look to make something happen. That is what he said about Cousins today. But he also said, Mike, he doesn't expect to see Kirk Cousins at OTAs or any voluntary activity that they're going to be involved with. My thing is, why would Cousins show up?
Yeah, I mean, why? And by the way, I know that we have to play this game for the Cleveland Browns, whoever else we may be able to trade him to. It's just getting silly at this point. He's not going to be on the friggin' roster, okay? Yeah, I want to see Raheem manage that one, okay? We'll see how this quarterback room works and all the controversy that'll come with that. So, I mean, this dog and pony show with Kirk Cousins, stupidest decision this franchise ever made, doing both quarterbacks, and now here we are, monkeying around with it, and Kirk's got he's basically in the driver's seat because he's got the no trade. You pointed that out earlier. And we'll probably not get any compensation for this year's draft, which is what most Falcon fans are concerned with. And that's why you're kind of hoping, maybe not likely, that Aaron Rodgers winds up in Minnesota, so maybe you can get Pittsburgh in there and give us some leverage with Cleveland if that's where he's going to go.
This for me, I said this to you guys earlier. Where are we at with this story? The same place we were 2 months ago. These are the same answers. The Falcons have not come off of this thing where they say he is going to be our backup. Mm-hmm. They've not come off of it. And so, again, they paid him the money. But, you know, our owner is saying the same thing, and that is, Mike, if a deal comes about, we're certainly explored. He spent an hour on the phone with Kirk Cousins. He admitted that today and then said, look, Kirk understands the situation.
But what does that even mean?
Well, I think he means he understands we're not just going to give him away. We're not just going to cut him because you call me and you want to be let go so you can go be a starter somewhere.
But yet he's got control because he controls the trade.
Yes, but the Falcons still have him under rights. And I paid you. I've already paid you. I don't have to do a damn thing.
Right.
And that's really what Arthur Blank is saying right now. Like, I've already paid for you. I can have you here doing absolutely nothing if I want.
What's the line from Top Gun? Japanese inspection. Lettuce rotting on the dock.
That's it.
All right. So that's where it'll be. So we'll have the world's most expensive backup, and we'll roll with that. And that won't cause any controversy of panic struggles or, you know, anything like that in the first few weeks. But, yeah, man, I just want this whole soap opera to wrap. Doesn't seem like it's going to come anytime soon. But, you know, I saw, you know, Coach talking about all these other things. And, you know, that phrase, we want to be the best guy. Yeah, they're all professionals, but you're supposed to be the best athlete you are. You're supposed to be. I just, that phrase, it's kind of like, what was that resulting? There's certain catchphrases that franchises in this town use. We just want player X. Usually they're talking about Kyle Pitts, because it's been the GM, the coach, and the offensive coordinator all said it one time in the last year. We just want Kyle to be the best Kyle Pitts he can be.
You don't want to ever get caught up into this term, which is called resulting.
Yeah, I hear you. By the way, good job, Landry. You know, you pulled something out this year with Dyson Daniels.
No, I
we play defense.
Well, the Daniels trade, man, and
right? You got the right guy. I mean, again, maybe you either way with Sar or Reese Hoshea, but Reese Hoshea looks great.
Yeah, I totally agree. Here's a couple other things that we're talking about, and certainly you guys can chime in at 404-726-0929. As far as the personnel, because to me, Mike, this is bigger. This is, what are we going to do secondary-wise? How are we upgrading in this draft? What are we going to get? I've been saying, coach these guys up that we don't know necessarily enough about quite yet. And Coach was talking about that, too. And specifically, you know, when you talk about the guys that we don't know a lot about, Coach Raheem Morris is saying exactly what Mike and I are saying. Trice and Rook and Dorless, the 24 draft class, he says they're really going to be helpful in getting us better. Talking about, there are a lot of things that we haven't had a chance to see or be able to do with these guys yet. There is unseen potential there. That I agree with. But these guys, they got to show up.
But we don't know. I mean, that's the big, it's a big if. And I wonder if they are banking, if we go corner, you know, and there's been more talk about corner. Even Coach Reed Morris mentioned they looked at offensive linemen, offensive tackle specifically. So that's always been a concern. You and I have said, hey, man, can McGarry really protect the blind side of a left-handed quarterback? I don't think he can, but they don't really ever seem to address that, and at least publicly. Maybe they feel otherwise. And would you think Falcon fans would be in their bag if that happened? If we actually went offensive tackle? Because there is a lot of perceived offensive tackles going sort of there between, you know, 8 and 18 in this year's draft.
Look, I don't know if I'd be disappointed, because, you know, I told you yesterday they went to the pro day of what I think the best tackle and, you know, potentially coming out in this draft at the University of Texas. And Mike, if you pick one of these guys and you say at 15, this is given that we stay at 15, right? We're not moving. This is what you're saying?
Right.
Drop
down.
I can't be disappointed, because you are investing in protecting your most important asset, your quarterback. But you're also telling me you have a lot more confidence in what we just talked about, in the Trices and the Rooks and the Dorlesses, that by not taking a defensive edge guy in this first round, or you feel like Leonard Floyd is going to be able to do what you think he's able to do and get you 10-plus sacks this season, and you're going to go ahead and invest in the future of your quarterback, which is protecting him. I can't be mad at that, but I do think a lot of Falcon fans would be like, what the hey, because again, what have we been talking about for 6 months?
Right. You always mentioned, you know, Shedeur Sanders and how this perceived, you know, maybe not the same level of Cam Ward, and now he's sort of dropping a lot of mock drafts. I have noticed, and you and I have talked about this before, that, you know, in some of these mock drafts you see from the big-name guys, Mykael Williams is definitely there when we pick.
He is.
And he does kind of drop in some mock drafts. Jaylen Walker is certainly gone. I'm looking at Lance Zierlein. This just came out today from NFL Network. He's got us taking the best corner other than Travis Hunter. That's
today.
It'd be Will Johnson.
Oh, he's got to take Will. Okay.
Yeah. Banged up last year, but
I like Jadae Barron. I was talking about Calvin Banks, the left tackle that they went and
he's
saw.
He's got him going with the 49ers at 11.
Okay. First rounder. I'm just telling you. I think Jadae, he ran a 4.3. I think he's more versatile. I've talked about this, Mike. And, you know, when you talk about Clark Phillips moving inside, okay, when you say, hey, we're in the nickel, and you've got Mike Hughes who can play inside or outside, and you draft one of these guys, okay, it doesn't matter. Let's just say one or the other. It gives you a lot of versatility. And DeMarco Helms is coming back. So there, now you're talking about a secondary that looks completely different than it did last year, potentially.
Right.
That's the issue.
And we talked about this last week, wondering what what their intentions were. They do confirm down there at the owners' meetings, Terry Fontenot said that Ryan Nuziel is center. He's going to be our center. So he'll give him a bump. He was a tendered free agent, restricted free agent, so they could always match anything that a team threw at him. So he'll probably, based on making less than $1 million, maybe bumps that up over 2 or 3. But Ryan Nuziel will be our center for the Falcons for 2025.
He started 8 games. They know what they saw. Like, the tape don't lie. And I said this. Did our running game suffer when he was in there? Like, when Drew Dahlman went down, did it suffer to the point where, like, you felt like, okay, they're crushing us up the middle? I didn't feel that way, and I certainly didn't feel like the run game took a hit. I don't think this is a bad move at all for the Falcons. I don't.
And, you know, whether they go, it's corner or edge, as you said, you just touched on it. We've got guys that we've drafted, but we just haven't seen them. And these are big, high draft picks, second and third round picks. And again, if Troy Anderson comes out and balls out, you know, that's all of a sudden, that's almost like getting a free agent.
It is.
Because, you know, he's played 9 games in the last 2 years. I keep reminding guys of that. But Arthur Blank, I said this to you at the end of the season. If they don't make the playoffs, both these guys are getting fired. Arthur, you want to read between the lines? You brought this up earlier. Raheem certainly understands I was disappointed. Terry certainly understands I was disappointed. Yeah, of course. It's not a very long conversation. You blew it. You know, when you're 6-3 and you're in the driver's seat for the division, regardless of what happened under center. So these guys have got to produce a winner this year. It's got to be the playoffs.
You know how much money I lost? Okay, he didn't say that. he didn't say that. All right, we're coming back. We're going to talk with Mark Raimondi. Covers the Falcons for ESPN. He was down there in Florida for the meetings, guys. And we'll get his first accounts of everything that's been going on. Stay right there. Let's talk about what's going on at the NFL annual meetings. Our man Mark Raimondi is down there, and he covers the team. I'm talking about our Falcons for ESPN and ESPN.com. Mark, I know you got a chance.
I'm actually not there, Carl. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, you're back. Okay. I didn't know, because here's the deal. Everybody was saying, you know, a lot of stuff today, and there was a lot of stuff coming out. Tell me what caught your ear, or at least caught your eye, when it comes to what was said, specifically from Raheem Morris, because I've been saying to our listeners, they've been saying the same message, like, especially when it comes to Kirk Cousins, and now, you know, we're 2 months into, you know, or 3 months into what we've been saying about Cousins. Nothing's really changed on their end, has it?
It hasn't changed, and, you know, it's getting to the point where, you know, maybe this kind of stuff is great for us guys. Like, you know, it's good copyright. It's good chatter about Kirk Cousins. But honestly, if you're a Falcons fan, like I'm kind of feeling like a lot of conversation is being put toward a guy that's not going to contribute to your team in 2025. You know what I mean? Right. Like it's obvious that the Falcons would love to trade him and not to pay that $27.5 million that he's owed, plus a $10 million on the back end in 2026. I think that's pretty obvious from what Arthur Blank said today. And then, you know, Raheem Morris saying that he doesn't expect Kirk Cousins to be at OTAs, which is something that, you know, we had heard, right? That was a report from several weeks ago. Not a huge surprise there, but again, like it's the offseason. This is a team that, you know, it could be a playoff contender in 2025, and we're talking about a guy who's not going to get on the field most likely for the Falcons. Might be in uniform, but he's probably not going to be on the field.
We were just talking last segment, Mark, about, you know, what the draft strategy is going to be. You know, is there a chance they go offensive tackle?
You know what? I was actually having this conversation with our good pal Mike Rothstein, my predecessor on the beat. And, you know, I'm gonna shout him out because he said he believes that wouldn't be the worst idea to get an offensive tackle because Jake Matthews has obviously been a stalwart for so long. But, you know, he's getting up there in age. And Caleb McGarry has done a solid job at right tackle. But now he has to cover Michael Penix Jr.'s blind side, you know, because Penix is a lefty. So it may not be the worst idea to kind of, you know, kick the tires on a potential if there's a guy that they like. We know the Falcons, right? If there's a guy that they think is a can-miss guy at number 15, regardless of position, they're going to take him, and that maybe that guy is an offensive tackle.
Yeah, I talked about this yesterday. They went to the University of Texas and looked at Calvin Banks. He is considered a top pick in this draft at left tackle, and I'm not saying they're going to take him, but both Fontenot and Raheem Morris were there last week in attendance. To your point, that screams, hey, they are at least doing the work that is required to have this, you know, on the big board. And if it comes to this, maybe they do it. But it is interesting. Let's talk about what our owner had to say today, because Arthur Blank was asked about a lot of this stuff as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, look, the thing for me is with Arthur Blank, he's supportive, but he's also very firm in, I think, his decisions once decisions are made, right? But he also gives the leeway to allow the decision makers, whether it be Terry or Raheem, to make the decisions. And, you know, part of this is now, you know, everybody wants to know what Arthur thinks. And he said he spent an hour on the phone with Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What conversation takes an hour?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and he took five pages of notes, apparently.
Wow.
You know, I think it was a conversation that probably didn't need to take an hour, honestly, because it's what is it, right? It's Kirk Cousins saying, hey, I want to be a starter in the NFL next year. And Arthur Blank saying, like, hey, we would love for you to be a starter in the NFL. It's probably not going to be here in Atlanta, and we need to figure out a way to trade you, because that takes two to tango. Plus, you need, Kirk, you need to waive your no trade clause. So it has to be a situation that he's comfortable with as well. So that was the gist of the conversation, as far as, you know, I wasn't listening in, you know, all CIA on that call, but I would imagine that was kind of the gist of it. Probably took a little bit longer. There's a lot of respect there. I'm sure there was some small talk. I think that Arthur Blank is a guy that has an affection for his players, and he signed off, and he got to meet Kirk Cousins last year on that deal. You know, you don't spend $100 million unless you get to know somebody a little bit before you put pen to paper. I think that's why the conversation probably didn't need to take an hour, but
right.
If it did, maybe Kirk was talking about the best wings in Atlanta when it was here. I'm not sure exactly. You know, I'm not exactly sure what else was in there, but.
Mark Raimondi got
maybe he was talking about his recent meeting with Donald Trump in Washington, D.C. I'm not sure at the White House. I don't know.
Yeah.
Raimondi's with us, guys. From ESPN. I got the notes, Kyle, by the way, from Arthur's meeting.
Okay.
Let's see here. Ticked off that we drafted a quarterback. Let's see here. Narcissist. Phony. Axe the grind at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Looking for leverage. Yeah, I mean, that's like, as we said, we don't know where this goes. And should we just be assuming we're never going to see a draft pick this year? Whatever we get. Not to go to another network. Actually, he's part of ESPN. Bill Barnwell said we wouldn't get anything more than a seventh. And we'd still have to pay basically $25 million of the 37 to get rid of Kirk Cousins this year.
Who knows? And then there's the reports, of course, that Cousins won't even discuss waiving the no trade clause until after the draft anyway. So
just to screw us.
It's kind of. I mean, I don't know.
Mark, say it.
Just to screw it. You know, for him, and I think we talked about this last week, right? For him, it's like, you know, he wants a place where there's not going to be someone breathing down his neck. There's not going to be that number one draft pick, you know, that top draft pick. You know, he wants to go there and be comfortable as the starter. Apparently, that's what the reports say, right?
Right.
But if that situation exists, I don't know. Is that, you know, is he going to find a better situation than the one he's going to be in Atlanta? Because he's not going to be starting at all in Atlanta. So who knows?
What do you make of the rule changes that have happened so far? Or at least the ones that have been approved. They did table the tush-push, guys, if you're just joining us.
Yeah.
They're not going to, you know, do anything
Raheem
right
Morris,
now.
Not a big fan of the tush-push, guys. He's really against the tush-push.
Is he getting pushback from that by other coaches, though?
I don't think so, because it does seem like there are a lot of coaches, and a lot of them are actually kind of in the McVay tree, right? They don't like the tush-push. Because Green Bay has been one of them, and you know LaFleur is a McVay guy, so it seems like those guys don't love that maneuver all that much. But to me, stop the play. You know what I mean? You know, I don't see they've been doing it for many years, and I haven't seen any like health issues or any kind of injury issues that have come from that play. Right? At least nothing that's been apparent. You know, they could kind of take a look at it maybe for a year and see what it is. But I don't see anything like sinister about that play, really.
No.
Not the greatest football play in the world, but you know, it's
no,
it's,
I mean, at first we said,
football.
You know, the Commanders game, as Mark Raimondi from ESPN joins, is the NFC Championship game where they had that sequence of three or four plays. That was about as bad as it gets. I'm just of the opinion, look, if you come up with something that's in the rules and you can do it, and now no one else can do it, so we're going to ban it. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's
right. You got to figure out how to stop it.
That's,
right.
I said, you know, and I said to Carl, I don't know where you fall on this, but is it ego with some of these offensive coordinators? I mean, you mentioned the McVay tree. You can't get short yardage. The Falcons can never get short yardage. Why don't we put Algier back there and do it if they're going to let you push a guy forward?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of agree with you though, Mike. I really do think that. You know, there's no such thing as a cheat code in the NFL. It's like if you come up with something, like you said, that works well, which this does, then the onus, you know, is on the defense to try to stop it. And then and vice versa, if the defense comes up with some kind of, you know, it's how it goes. It's a league that's ever evolving, ever adapting, and you got to adapt. You can't stop the tush push. Let's figure out a way.
We got word, I guess you may have known Ryan Nuzell. He's going to be our starting center. I guess Terry confirmed that today. Do we know about the contract and what that looks like?
I mean, they tendered it. So he was not an unrestricted free agent. He was a restricted free agent. I think the cap hit is in the $3 million range.
Okay.
A little bit over $3 million. So they tendered the contract. No one like matched the deal or anything. So, yeah, it seems like he is, which is kind of what we all expected, right? That he's going to be at least the starting center, you know, from now, and then they'll bring in someone to compete with him.
All right, buddy, 23 days away from the draft, and obviously it's become bigger and bigger every year up at Lambeau. Do you feel that right now, is it still edge rush? Because I've seen Mykael Williams anywhere from the top 10 to down in the top 15. I've seen Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. I think that's not a bad pick for us generally. But do you still think it's going to be an edge rush guy?
You know, probably, but you know what? It's going to depend on how things go. You know, are they going to be able to trade down? Will there be a guy that maybe they like that falls to them? Maybe a defensive tackle or a corner, maybe a safety. You know, there's guys that are good at those positions. You know, when you're a team that has the holes the Falcons do, you know, you might be able to. You know, look, we all know they need a pass rush. We all know they need an edge, right? That's not a surprise. That's been, you know, it's been said ad nauseum for years and years and years, long before I've been here. But they might find some guy that drops. There might be a Kenneth Grant that drops. And why, you know, you'd be crazy to take him at 15, right? If he gets there, Will Johnson, you know, guys like that. So I would say, like, they're probably going to go into it thinking edge rusher, but it's going to have to develop and see. Maybe they end up with an offensive tackle. It's certainly not going to be a quarterback, I'll say that.
that we know. Mark, man, we got to run. Great stuff as always. Appreciate you dropping in. News dropping about, you know, rule changes. As a matter of fact, Mike, this just came down. I guess he's not done. Calais Campbell signing a one-year deal with the Cardinals.
How about that? Back to Arizona. The guy, look, he did a good job for Miami. Certainly did a good job for us 2 years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's not done. What is he, 38? I think he's 38 or something like that. Either way, 37. He is back in the league and going to play another
year. You'd think he'd say, I'm too old for this.
Hey, Mark, thanks again, man. We appreciate you stopping by. All right, we got a lot more to dive into here on the show, including what Grant McCauley is thinking about our Braves. We're not hitting. We're not scoring runs.
No.
We're not doing a whole lot of anything.
You know
right
who kind
of
trolled us as Braves fans?
Who?
Our old friend John Heyman from New York.
Yeah.
He said, "You think your team's got offensive problems?" And he's got a shot basically of all the Braves starting nine stats.
Well, he ain't lying. I mean, I hate to say it. Hey, man, we've got tickets for you to go see Ghost. Skeletor World Tour Friday.
Scandinavian metal, Carl.
July 11th at State Farm Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Blah, blah, blah.
Caller 5 is going to win these Ghost tickets. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk to Grant next.
Yes.
All right, Grant. I'm feeling some kind of way, and I think Braves Country is as well.
Talk us off the ledge.
But before we get to the game, because yesterday late in the show, you came on and you stayed on and the news broke about Profar. I want to give you a chance to expound on that a little bit. I know you put a lot of social media stuff out there, but for our listeners, what's the deal? What are we talking about here? And how are the Braves handling this moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think the biggest word is disappointment, and I think that goes for the team, and that might be an understatement. Fans obviously are going to feel that way, and they certainly should. And I think there are questions now that are going to surround Jerickson Profar's renaissance season or career year or whatever you want to call it last year with San Diego that got him that 3-year deal with the Braves. buyer's remorse might be another phrase that we could discuss. Now, when it comes to luxury tax, Atlanta won't have to pay him over the course of the next 80 games. The suspension is without pay, so it saves them just under $6 million, which they could redeploy elsewhere. But that brings up the obvious question, as it's just now the month of April. Well, who's out there that you're going to spend that money on right now? Probably no one of consequence. But could it come in handy later in the season? Sure, but who in the world right now is talking about later in the season when you're sitting 0-5, you've looked pedestrian at best at the plate and are having trouble with your pitching staff and now dealing with injuries there. So, you know, it's just as bad as it was in San Diego, it somehow found a way to get worse by the time they rolled into Dodger Stadium. And I'm sure we'll talk about that series and what's ahead of them tonight and the fact that Bryce Elder is starting and not Reynaldo Lopez. But as far as the Profar story is concerned, disappointment is the one word that I would slap on that one. And we're going to have to unpack it when he gets back and see what kind of player he is. And obviously, it's fair to wonder about how exactly he put up the numbers that he did last year, because he has brought that into the equation with his own choices.
Yeah, people are looking at all those numbers, extrapolating where he's been in his career and how he bounced up with his OPS, to your point, Grant. Grant McCauley's with us. Speaking of numbers, man, geez Louise. Money Harris, 111. Riley and Albies both batting 118. Nobody in the starting eight is batting 200. I've never seen anything. I mean, I know it's a small sample size, Grant. We're used to reading the newspapers as kids. Hey, we're in first place. I want to know. But this is just mind-blowing. Where does it start? I mean, you got the Dodgers. Is this one where we're going to have to wait till we get home, or are we going to see a spark tonight? You got to get a good outing from Chris Sale to stop the bleeding.
Yeah, no, you definitely do. And I think if I said that Bryce Elder was starting tonight, I don't want to freak anybody out. Chris Sale's fine, but he will be starting for Reynaldo Lopez. But it's hard to keep the day straight when they run together and they all feel the same. But to your point and to your question, as far as the offense is concerned, I think you kind of have to keep it small in my mind. And this is kind of where it was in spring training, where it was we game plan, we make smarter decisions, we concentrate on being in the moment, we don't get too big, we do our research that we need to on the starting pitchers. Now, that's not going to make them untalented, obviously. They're still going to be a challenge, but are those boxes being checked? And I would say that they probably are. There has been, particularly for Matt Olson, among others, Drake Baldwin's the unluckiest hitter on the team, but there have been some plays that just haven't gone the Braves' way. But I could probably say that about any of the 30 teams over the course of the season, where, you know, you look at the expected stats and they tell you one thing. You look at the actual stats, they tell you a completely different story. And then people are going to feel, to your point, Carl, some kind of way about, well, I don't care what was expected. What are the actual numbers? So consistency is key here, not letting it snowball and become a bigger problem where, I mean, baseball is a very mental sport. We know that. I mean, Yogi Berra famously said 90% of the game is half mental. And I think that that's probably at play right now. But they've got to, I think, stay within themselves and just try to get some momentum and start to get that ball rolling again, because this is a much better team than they have played like. I can promise you that. But when all that you have, the entire sample that you have, is as bad as it's been for the first five games, it's certainly not inspiring a lot of confidence in Braves country. I know that.
As we talk about Sean Murphy, right? He's making he's rehabbing, I guess, down at Triple A. What's the latest there?
Yeah, so if Sean Murphy is able to, I think, get somewhere between 3 and 5 games in, they'll have a decision to make there. And obviously the idea is to get him back as soon as you can. Maybe it's a little bit longer. He has 3 weeks on this rehab assignment if he needs it all. And he did miss a lot of spring training, so I might be pulling the cord with what I'd like to call the Freddie Freeman clause, which is you get sent to the minors, you stay there for 2 days, and you come back up because you don't like it there and you don't need it. Other guys, I think, do need it, so maybe Sean Murphy needs a few more at-bats. But this is a good sign. He was able to progress, catch some innings down in Florida before they decided to sign off on this rehab assignment. So hopefully he's able to do what he needs to do, check all the boxes again, to use that a very cliched phrase that we seem to have been using for about the last 18 or so months about this team, and find his way back into the lineup. Because for the Braves to do the things that they want to do this year, they need Sean Murphy to be a major contributor.
Big time, man. We talked to Brett Boone earlier. You'll hear that conversation coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Because I said, we worry about leadership on this team, and obviously it's way too early to have any kind of closed-door meeting or have Snickers start screaming at people. But you just wonder when the chips are down, who are the guys that they turn to, without having a Wash or an Eric Young or guys like that? I mean, who are the guys that are kind of like the sounding board on that team? Is that a role that Austin Riley embraces at this stage of his career?
Yeah, I think Austin Riley's one I would point to. Matt Olson's another one. Ozzie Albies is another one that I would look at and say, if I were to pick three guys that should embrace that role. I mean, not every team has the storied history of the Yankees franchise where you get a captain. I mean, it's a great thought. It makes for some great movies, but it doesn't necessarily fit in all 30 clubhouses. But putting that aside and kind of to the the other end of the spectrum here, and I've talked to a lot of players over the years from different generations, the manager flipping out and, you know, throwing the spread after the game on the floor, it doesn't do anything to millionaire athletes. It might do something to high school kids and college kids. It might make an impression, though I don't know if the NIL has changed all of that. But you don't send a message that resonates that way. I think it's more about the authenticity of your leadership. And that does start in that clubhouse. And Brian Snitker, love it, hate it, feel indifferent about it, I don't know, allows that clubhouse to kind of run itself because you don't have a bunch of problem guys in there. We don't really hear a lot about, oh, this personality clashes with this personality and we got to trade this guy and now this guy's worn out his welcome. You don't hear a lot of that with the Braves. And I think that's something that is good for their culture, but then you kind of get that stigma that maybe they had some in the 1990s, certainly where, well, maybe it's just too much of a country club and somebody needs to come in there and stir the pot. And I think there is a case to be made for that. But I don't think that it's just some big country club with a bunch of late 20s guys down there who aren't on the road to Cooperstown just yet and are in the prime of their career trying to figure some things out. So we'll see how the whole thing plays. But it's just going to be, I think, a work in progress where different guys at different times are going to have to step up. Love Freddie Freeman as much as the next guy, Travis d'Arnaud, Dansby Swanson, all of those guys. They were not in the center of the room with everybody huddled around them taking a knee, listening to them fire them up for the game. That's just not how that works.
Right. Hurston Waltrip had a good outing. Do you think they'll be he'll be up here soon, or we'll get a chance to see him fairly soon?
Well, I will say this. I want him to have as many good outings as he can because he's a very highly rated prospect, and it would be great if he could make an impact. But if we see Hurston Waltrip up here anytime soon, that is probably going to signal that something else went wrong.
Okay.
So
okay.
I think more innings for him at AAA. He kind of went through it last year. He came up, I think, far before he probably should have. And then he had to deal with the injury as well after that with the sore arm. And so I did talk to him in spring training. He does feel good. He had a normal offseason. And clearly with the first-round pick, you'd love to see what he can do. But anytime soon, I doubt it. But, you know, as we've seen, things happen, and the Braves are having to adjust to it again. And we haven't even gotten out of the first week of the season.
I mean, you couldn't have a worse start. I don't have to tell anything you don't know. Losing Profar, losing Ronaldo Lopez in the short term. Come up a lot today on social media, Grant, and on our text line as Grant McCauley joins us. And I know I've asked you before, but I'll ask you again, is, you know, with Atlanta Braves holding, it was spun off of Liberty Media, you know, the idea that, you know, yeah, we're top 10 in payroll, but they just don't give Alex the ability to do the things and spend for the front line pitching and everything else. The other teams, like the Phillies, I'm not comparing to the Dodgers, I get that, or the Mets.
Sure.
But just, you'd love to see them have a little bit more ability to prime the pump when it comes to the roster.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, and it's, and I don't know if we have enough time to get into it, but they made a conscious decision to identify players to keep together for a long time so that they could create a contender. Not so much so that they can just sit on their hands and not do anything, and I know that oftentimes is kind of the thing that comes afterwards, but just they were trying to create that kind of continuity with a club that you could add and subtract pieces to as you needed. But when you're not able to play in the free agency pool to the, you know, degree that some of the other teams are, even in the division, that certainly hurts. But the Braves, they don't do that. They have internalized their spending, and they've locked down a very good core. But what good is that core if you can't get the 3, 4, 5 players in a given year that could make the difference and put you over the top? I mean, I'm not going to tell you that this is going to be 2021 all over again, but who in the world could have written that script? It didn't have to do with getting superstars. It just had to do with getting the right players that made a difference and were complementary at the right time. And so they weren't able to do that over the winter. I do wonder a lot, you know, aloud as well, and I'll do it right here, about the spending, because we got one message at the start of the winter, and then they shed a lot of payroll by not picking up options and then trading away Jorge Soler. And then maybe they had a deal with Jeff Hoffman. Didn't work out. Backed out of that one. They were bidding for Tanner Scott. He took way more money to go to the Dodgers. They weren't able to circle back with any other relievers of consequence to make up for some losses there. And I know you talked about this on social and on the air, Mike. It's when you're not able to, you know, invest in that pitching, as soon as you get out of the gate and you start losing pieces, you just have to wonder what in the world went on over the winter. And clearly, you know, to the point of everybody, I'm sure, listening to this and watching this team for the first week, not enough is probably the phrase to put on it.
All right. We come home Friday. We're going to get a chance to see you right out at Murph's. Is that right? You coming through?
Yeah.
All right. So make sure you come on out and hang out with us. We're going to be out over there, obviously, before first pitch and hanging out for the show. But Friday, for whatever reason, and I say that, does the pressure build if we don't get a dub here over the next couple of days? We get a day, you know, to kind of think about it. But, man, I'm hoping that's not the case, and I hope we get a chance to at least steal one, maybe two, and then we'll feel a lot better about this. But if that's the case, Grant, Friday against the Marlins becomes a big deal, doesn't it?
It becomes a much bigger deal than any game they played against the Marlins since they rebranded to Miami rather than Florida, and it's been a minute. So they need to, all jokes aside, try to come home with some semblance of a win or signs of life from the offense or both. But this weekend against the Miami Marlins, you talk about a get-right series, you better get right in a hurry, because 0-7 doesn't sound good, and dropping more of your first 10 games would look even worse. So there's no team in baseball you can just highlight on the schedule and say, yep, we'll sweep that one, we'll sweep this one, we'll sweep this one. It doesn't work that way. We've learned that a lot of different times. But, yeah, a series against the Marlins does feel like it could be a little bit more pivotal, because you've got to start winning baseball games, and the Braves, they've got to figure out a way to, in some cases, maybe get out of their own way at the plate. It just feels like there's a lot on them, and maybe that's some carryover from 2024. I don't know.
Everybody going to use their torpedo bats tonight?
I would hope so. Maybe a boat oar or a table leg or whatever else it is that's legal. Try it, whatever it is. Maybe this is the game where everybody uses one bat and they just keep passing it along and see if they can get something going. I don't know if they've reached the draw names out of a hat for the lineup just yet. Snit doesn't seem to be open to that idea or joking about that idea. But, yeah, if things continue to go wrong, I'm sure we'll start to see some changes that are made. And I know that, according to the broadcast the other day, torpedo bats were purchased. I just don't know where they were delivered.
All right, buddy. Good stuff. We appreciate you, man, and good job on the web as well, keeping people up to date and informed on what's going on. Follow Grant, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, brother.
Thank you so much.
All right. I'm concerned. I just am.
I know.
And I I'm not one to get overly excited or, you know, overly disappointed.
You've been covering baseball a long time, compadre.
Five games is nothing. It's nothing. It's the way that this is going down. Right. And tonight, I'm hoping that we're a little bit more competitive, get better at ABs, better at bats, put a little, you know, some more bats on the ball, Mike, get some balls in play. Let's not have 14 strikeouts.
Yeah, I was just talking to a guy who's got Grant Holmes as his avatar, and I said, I know you like Grant Holmes, but I said, you know, just the fact that Grant Holmes starts a series against the world champs is problem one.
Yes, it is.
That's where this goes back to, you know, everything we've been debating. Look, I say it all the time. Alex will never come on the air and say it, but I just think there's a degree of limitations, and Grant, you know, talked about it. They just don't let him do the things, and this is the argument. You're good enough to be there, Carl. 23, you know, the 21 season was amazing. Jock Peterson, Soler, Rosario, the way the night shift worked, everything came together.
Yep.
But 23 was a team that was five times better than that team, and we go home with our sausage each in our hand,
in
you know,
hand.
There because you just have no clutch. You need more pitching. You got to get clutch. I just feel like you've got a team which is one of the top five teams in baseball. What are you doing to put it over the top? They're not letting them put it over the top.
Well, you're going to hear what Brett Boone has to say about our Braves. Odyssey MLB Insider coming up in 20 minutes. When we come back, Hawks have a big game tonight. We'll get you caught up on the latest from the NFL, guys. The commissioner even spoke today at the annual meetings.
Oh, joy.